Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas, and with me, the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. And we also blessed 3 weeks in a row by Champ Creed himself. What's going on, Champ?
I know. What is going on, man? Dang.
I am here to advocate for Eric Bugenhagen. He is the only reason why I will watch NXT.
we'll get to that in a minute. But I guess we want to start here, man. The major news coming up from WWE this week is that Roman Reigns is in remission, and Roman Reigns made his return to the WWE this past Monday night. A lot of conversation going on, a lot of speculation going on about Roman Reigns. Fellas, what were your thoughts and opinions when you saw the Roman Reigns promo on this past Monday night?
You wanted to go first, Champ, or you want me to hit it?
You hit it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, I was I thought it was very well done. A lot of people have been giving it backlash because they're kind of like, oh, WWE, you know, they're really taking advantage of this because listen, the guy was out, and I really don't think in this day and age WWE is working any kind of thing with anything to do with cancer, especially cancer. And that's yeah. Like, yeah, that's, I mean, they've done stuff with people falling off of things and getting blown up by fire and, you know, dying or whatever, but nothing where there's a debilitating or terminal illness. They've never touched that. You know, they've never done storylines where somebody has cancer or AIDS or something like that. You know, they're not going to touch that. They're not. And for people to even think that this is a ploy, it's really like, come on, like, just let it go somewhere with that. So I'm very happy for him. He's going to be, it's going to be virtually impossible to boo him now. He's always going to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I said that. Remember when we first talked about it? I said, when he comes back, he's over for life.
Yeah, for life. Like, he's never going to be booed. And you know what? And I don't see WWE forcing anything with him either. He's not going to get the title back anytime soon. He doesn't need to.
He doesn't need it.
Bingo. He's pretty much, he's at the point, he's, dare I say, he's bigger than the belt now, in a sense.
Almost gave him the reset button on what he needed. And I hate to say it that way, but it's
get exactly what you're saying. You're right.
Is the reset button what he needed to be fan loved? The fans loved him, and WWE has built other stars around him. It's good for them to have him back. Good to see him get a little physical in the ring. To your point, Corey, man, I don't see a billion-dollar company risking everything for a storyline.
Everything. That would kill the company.
That would kill the company. It would kill the partnerships they have with other companies, with the charitable foundation.
The company would be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just think about like how much what they do for the Susan G. Komen Foundation and things like that. Like I saw those whispers on social media, and you know, no, that's a hard no. They're not going to do that.
I live in a house with a medical professional who has a master's degree in this situation, and in talking to her.
So you're living with Isaac Yankum, are you?
Nah, she looks a little bit better than Isaac Yankum. She was talking about even.
He didn't say political science. He said.
Right. no political science there. She could be mayor though, but
that man has been a dentist and a mayor. Can we just shout him out real quick?
Yeah.
He is the man. He's the GOAT.
He is. He's one of the smartest dudes in the company. That's why everybody loves him. I mean, his Hall of Fame days are coming. He will be a Hall of Famer. Be the first mayor.
I think he'll main event one, too, to be
honest. He might be the first mayor to be a Hall of Famer.
You say he might be the first what?
Mayor.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, we got a president in there, so.
Yeah, we got a president in there.
And isn't Jesse the body in there?
And a governor, yep.
And a governor, yeah. Oh, you need now the mayor.
That's crazy. That's the only year, you're only hearing this on the WrestleMarks action. WWE will eventually have an entire political leading body of people in their Hall of Fame. Can any other sport boast that?
No.
No, well, exactly.
Nah, no one else can say they had a president, but a basketball can say they had a mayor. Kevin Johnson was the mayor of Sacramento.
Football has had a few people.
Football had a couple. Steve Largest was a senator.
Yeah,
you got a couple of congressmen in there. You do.
Yeah, but you don't have a president, a governor, and a mayor all in the same organization.
Bill Bradley for the Knicks.
Yeah,
he was a senator.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So.
That's interesting.
But back to the medical professional, it was just the WWE, the words used. People looked at, a lot of people talked about the word remission. And looking it up and talked to the medical professional in my house, remission also means that it could be a partial remission or a complete remission. It just means that his numbers have gone down from what it were. And they want to use the term remission. Actual remission, per se, is when after 5 years, doctors may profess that it is a actual remission. So it's just a choice of words that you want to use. Either way, he's cleared to perform any task. That he wants to perform. And that's the key point there.
Yeah. And they don't need to rush anything, you know? I mean.
And we don't even know if he's going to be on a full schedule or what. We just know that he's back in the WWE. So he may not be.
They'll have him on Mania. I think we'll definitely get him on Mania. I don't think we. Dare I say, guys, I don't even think we get him on the next pay per view at Fastlane.
No.
Think we get it. I think you say, if it were me, if I was the company, I would say his first match back for WrestleMania. First match back.
Yeah, you don't need it. You definitely don't need it for anything else. You don't need it for Fastlane. You don't need it for Raw. You know, you saw him get a little physical on this past Monday.
He can make appearances on Raw. I would use him on Raw. I would give him that.
Just to build a storyline.
No matches. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to build a storyline. No matches. Just to build a storyline, build the excitement, and then at WrestleMania you move on. Next thing coming from Monday Night Raw. I'm going to give Champ Creed some credit here. We always get on him. But he did have the partial storyline, right, that somebody would interrupt Ric Flair's party. But it wasn't Becky Lynch. But this time it was Dave Bautista, which was a surprise, which sets up Dave Bautista and Triple H here at WrestleMania. Now, there's been a lot of people who say they don't want to see this match. It might be boring. This is the bathroom break.
Oh, my gosh. People get on my – go ahead, Glenn. I'm sorry. People get on my
bathroom break. But to me, I think this is a good storyline. At least Triple H will get a win at WrestleMania now. Since he's on a losing streak.
Not only that, he'll get his first win against Batista.
Yeah, he'll get his first win against Batista. You know? And
yeah,
so
he's never beaten him. That's Batista's claim to fame. He's never lost to Triple H.
Never lost to Hunter.
So now I can imagine how this pre-fight package is going to roll out.
Well, see, here's my thing, guys, and hear me out, because I think I dropped this little gem in our group chat. I don't know. Something feels like we're, if depending on how healthy Hunter is from the torn bicep, he's healthy enough to compete, I'm sure. But I'm wondering now, are we getting a tag match? Are we getting Evolution, perhaps, against DX? Just an idea.
What would the matchup be? How would you match that up?
It would be Batista and Orton versus Shawn and Hunter.
You could. It would give Orton something to do on the card, because right now he has no place on that WrestleMania card.
Yeah, he's so good, he's so efficient. There's no storyline for him. Because remember last year,
Orton was only put on the card. That's why they put the U.S. title on him, to get him on WrestleMania, because he had no place.
I think at this point, you would have to book you got to book him like you book Jake the Snake, not just because of, you know, the Viper Snake comparison or whatever, but
he's just a menacing
presence that competing for things that mean more to him than the belt. Like, Jake's pursuit never was the belt. He was very diabolical, you know, and he would end up in these storylines where you were totally engaged in the storyline. and you didn't give a damn about the belt because he didn't really give a damn about the belt. You know, and they have to do these things for a guy like Orton because it just seemed like he's just like a vagabond, like just wandering around the halls of SmackDown, and he's too good for that.
Well, and you know what's so funny? You mentioned vagabond because that's exactly how he appeared this past week on SmackDown, just interrupting AJ Styles' interview backstage, and he was just there, and it was just like, okay, I guess this is where they're going with Randy. But it was kind of like, all right, like, I mean, Randy's here and AJ's here. And you know what? That's probably, we're probably going to end up getting Batista Triple H one-on-one, and they're probably going to go Randy and AJ. I mean, which is cool, but it's like, it's another Randy Orton program that you could tell they're making this program for WrestleMania, and that's it. Just like in Atlanta, Orton and Punk, because after that, it was just done. It only got built up for a month, realistically, and then it was done, you know?
It is. I mean, and it's like I said, I think this WrestleMania, we'll talk a little bit more when it gets there, they have a lot of moving pieces to put a lot of main stars on the card. And I'm not talking about just in battle royals and different things like that. I mean, we still don't have a challenge for Asuka yet. You still got R-Truth.
I think it's but Asuka, I can tell you now, I think that is going Lacey Evans. I really do. Yeah. I think they see dollar signs in her, and she's pretty much almost going to be not the same gimmick wise. But she's going to be equivalent almost to like the John Cena of that division.
Yeah,
she's going to be reliable. She's going to be that powerhouse kind of cookie, you know, not cookie cutter, but, you know, that generic superhero woman type character, because Charlotte's going to be the flair of the division or whatnot.
Right.
Or maybe Triple H, depending. You know, you got Sasha, who's like kind of your, I don't Macho Man-ish, maybe Sean, maybe HBK, almost like, and then you got Bayley, who's your reliable, like she's just gonna be reliable. She hasn't really been hurt. That's the one knock with Sasha, and I love Sasha, but it seems like every time I turn around, she ends up getting hurt, and it's just like, dang, they can't. I mean, because she's so good and there's so few women, and that's not a knock to her ability because she's phenomenal, but she's always going to have that benefit of the doubt because there ain't but really a handful of women that you're really pushing. I mean, after Sasha, Bailey, Becky, Charlotte,
who are you really?
Ronda. I mean, that's why you got to, huh?
Ronda.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, you know, Ronda ain't going to be around as long as them. That's why I didn't say her, because I don't think she's going to be around too much longer. But after that, I mean, you got to build a Lacey Evans. You have Asuka, but they done watered her down so much that, you know, like last year, you couldn't, I mean, I'll put it this way. I wouldn't have been shocked if Asuka continued her streak last year and beat Charlotte.
No, I wouldn't have been either. Look, I wouldn't have been.
She was hotter last year without the belt than she is with the belt.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Well, because really, reason being, look at you take away Charlotte, you take away Becky, and you put them with a feud with Ronda. Really, they have not really. If we talk about building stars all the time, what other female wrestler?
Nobody.
They have not built anybody else.
Well, no, you know? They had one. No, guys, we're forgetting somebody, and rightfully so. They had one, but she got hurt. I think Ember was going to be the one to fight Asuka at Mania. They kind of took a blow with that.
They did. They took a blow with it. But I like Lacey because she's, once again, if you go back to the Royal Rumble, if you really watch that match, Lacey was putting work in on Charlotte Flair. Go back and watch.
Yeah. Did she box?
Nah, she didn't box.
No,
but they're about the same size. She blonde. You know, Vince liked the big blonde girls. I hate to say it. He liked the big blonde guys.
She did box in the Rumble.
Maybe she did. Maybe.
She had a corner spot that she boxed. I remember because, you know, I was like, oh, this is the delay because they were promoting her. So I was like, oh, all right, finally I get to see her. And then she comes out And then she wound up, she put in work, but she
maybe
botched,
she did.
Actually, she botched twice. She botched
yeah, maybe
twice
she
in
did.
That match.
Maybe she did.
Maybe she did.
Yeah.
You know, but you
but
know,
you,
they,
you know who was impressive?
Oh.
Not her. There's this thin, she's very thin, very small, has like brown hair. I think she might have done like American.
Casey
is that her? And
yeah,
she did like some Kofi type stuff to get back
yeah.
in the ring.
For
yeah.
American Ninja.
Yeah. Yeah, she stole the show in my eyes in terms of
you
like,
know she's very good, and that's why they gave her that nod to go in the Rumble because she is very good. No, you're mm-hmm. you're on the money with that one.
Yeah,
you're definitely
her spot,
on the money with that.
And
one.
We really look at it, her spot outside the ring overshadowed Naomi's spot.
she's another one. That's crazy. We named all those women. And we forgot, we got Naomi right there.
You have Naomi, but I think people are tired. Now I don't want to say tired. I'm still a Naomi fan, but
no,
Naomi,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
She has her WrestleMania moment. She had her time, and I don't think people will believe that her and Asuka could get it on right now, and it'd be believable. Not for WrestleMania, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, not for
Mania.
No,
not for
Mania.
Not for Mania, you know, if this was down in Orlando like it was a couple years ago, maybe. But right now, Mania, no, you can't do it.
Yeah, see, I still have a gripe about that with Orlando in the sense of, I get it was February, maybe it was tied in because of Black History Month, but Orlando should have been her moment to begin with. She should have never won the belt the month before to begin with.
No,
she should have won it at WrestleMania. The way it went in Orlando was exactly how it should have went from the beginning.
Yeah. Definitely how it should have went from the beginning. But let's get to the other news. I know everybody wants to talk about this. You know, you got three African-American guys. We're going to talk about Kofi Kingston and Vince McMahon, Kevin Owens, and Daniel Bryan. First of all, I think the SmackDown segment with Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan was great. I like how,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it and play it up, if you was a wrestling fan for a long time, you knew something was going to happen. Shane was building Kofi Kingston up like he was the man. They was building up. And I like this with Vince McMahon. You know what it shows me? Shows me that the WWE is kind of listening to the wrestling fans. Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the first to apologize because we talked about last week, late show. I said I didn't think this would ever happen because they already had WrestleMania plans and they wouldn't change them. But by God, the Vince McMahon just screwed that thing up.
Well, here's the thing. Now, with that, and we talked about how they always do have plans and all that. Now I'm starting to think, is the plan really, and maybe we're wishful thinking, is the plan really for Kofi Kingston to get it at WrestleMania?
I can't see them not. I can't see them not giving it to Kofi now. You built Fastlane up. You switched it, saying Kofi's not. It's just like the Becky Lynch. We all knew Becky Lynch, even her 60-day suspension, Ronda laying a title down. We knew Becky somehow, some way, would be put back in this match. Now, it hasn't been made official yet. But we know that
right.
Becky's going to be put back into the triple threat in the match with Charlotte Flair. And somehow she's getting there.
Yep.
I think at this point, we're going to see Kofi Kingston take on Daniel Bryan. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kofi, after 11 years, Kofi Kingston gets his WrestleMania moment. And I say that because I think it's not only the fans that are talking about it. I think the boys and the girls backstage is talking about it. And they see
that.
They see dollar signs on this. This is dollar signs with Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan.
Well, here's the thing. New Day is already money.
Yeah.
They're already walking printing press. You know what I'm saying? So it's only going to be even better I think he's getting it. This storyline is too, in the storyline terms, it's too foul and messed up the way they did Kofi. For him not to have a pale. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This can't
go away.
They
did it to Booker. They did it to Booker.
Here's my only objection with that is that Booker still got the match and lost, which shows me that that was the plan.
Right.
For them to
also,
take Kofi out of it, if they put him back in it, he's getting it.
Yeah. Also, this. If Booker T had social media around, when that thing happened to Booker T, Booker would have got a rematch and won.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think social media would have had so much of an backlash of what's going on with Booker T at the time. If we had social media, that Booker T Triple H wouldn't have happened the way it happened.
Right.
And I think if right. Kofi doesn't get this match at WrestleMania, you talk about a riot. I think fans in New York really, I think fans in New York and wrestling fans would really boycott WWE. And think about it. WWE really doesn't want to do anything right now to give wrestling fans a reason to watch or a reason to really deal with AEW. This would turn a lot of those wrestling fans off if something happened where Kofi Kingston didn't get a match at WrestleMania. Now, especially after you took him out of Fastlane, he pinned Daniel Bryan twice. WWE's not dumb. They're smart. Like I said, this is dollar signs. Because Kofi caught steam much more than Mustafa Ali would have caught. And, you know, if this was still Mustafa Ali, Kevin Owens coming back, Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan, sell it. Everybody likes it, no problem. Now that Kofi caught a lot of steam, internet's taking over, you got superstars chiming in, you got celebrities chiming in, you got people talking about Kofi Kingston now that wasn't talking about Kofi Kingston. And like you said, Wizard, New Day's already dollar signs. This is how you incorporate New Day into one of the main event matches. Your dollar sign people against Daniel Bryan also allows you to, if you want to incorporate a third person with Daniel Bryan's group, it gives you opportunity and makes more matches for later on after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go on record and say this. If Kofi does not win the title at Mania, or the next night on Raw or SmackDown, I, my friends, will boycott the WWE. I am not watching. I'm not paying. And I will be an AEW guy.
I'm not going that far. It's going to be.
I'm
going to tell you, it's going to be. It's going to be about match placement for that match. And I always say it. I'm the match placement guy. It'll be match placement for that match if Kofi wins.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. I'll do you one better with that. If Kofi gets into this match, it's either one or the other happening, because we're not going to get three major babyface, major title changes. So if Kofi gets in, that means if Kofi wins the belt, that means Brock's beating Seth. If Kofi wins, Brock beats Seth, because I think it's almost pretty much a foregone conclusion. Becky's going to get the women's championship. So you've got that, especially if it's main event. I think Becky gets it. You're not going to get Kofi and Seth to get the belt. Somebody's retaining. So, depending on match placement, like Gio just said, if Seth loses to Brock, then Kofi's getting the belt. If Seth wins, Daniel Bryan might be keeping it. And let's not forget about that either. Daniel Bryan's got a story here, too. Not necessarily because he's the heel, but it's like Daniel just came back from a major, you know, career ender. His career was done.
Yeah.
So let's not be surprised if they give Daniel his moment and let him retain the championship at Mania.
Yeah, but, you know, I always think Bryan had his moment 30. 30 was his moment. Last year, his return was another moment. You know, with Shane McMahon, it was another moment. And can he afford it? I think he's just the best heel right now. Could he afford to lose? You know,
he can afford to lose, though. That's why you give Kofi that moment.
Right. He can afford to lose at a Mania, you know? Well, he already lost at Mania. I know somebody can say, oh, he already lost in 20 seconds. I understand that. And reach this Daniel Bryan can afford to lose at Mania and still make him whole the next night or the night after, whenever you want to.
Well, they've already paid Daniel Bryan back for that, for him jobbing in 18 seconds. They've already given him that back at 30. They gave him the – and I see what you're saying. Because the ultimate babyface run to the title. Other than probably Shawn at 12, because that one was a big one too. People forget about that.
That was when he beat Bret in overtime?
Big deal. Because Bret was the biggest star on the roster at that time.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
By far.
Yeah, so that was a big deal. So I always put that one up there. I always put Austin at 14 going to the championship. You know, so, you know, Ryan at 30. Cena's run at 21 was, I still to this day, I'll put it this way, I still say, oh, maybe because of the age, but it was the way it was booked. I still feel like Batista was being booked to be the bigger star of the two at that time. Because Batista was way more over than Cena was at that. Cena was over, and I don't know if it was because Cena was on SmackDown or what, but it was just like something, you felt more of a, it felt more main event with Batista being champion than it did Cena. It took a little while. It's actually what it took, honestly, it took them switching shows because they had to book Cena because, and they probably did that, which makes sense. They probably did that because Cena was younger than Batista. They put him on the flagship show to for longevity because Batista was already almost into his 40s if he was not 40 by the time he won the belt. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. But
at that time, at that time, Batista was the biggest star, though. I mean, think about it.
He definitely was. He definitely was.
At that time, Batista was the biggest star. You know, and that was the, you know, I believe, what, 21 was in L.A. Staples Center?
Yeah, that was the Hollywood one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the Hollywood one. So Batista was there. He was the biggest star there, you know, and that was the thing that made that match good. And you saw their feud later on. Only match I think those two guys had that I did not like was that freaking I Quit match when he taped his or Last Man Standing, whatever.
Oh,
Last Man Standing.
Cena and Batista?
Yeah, Batista and Cena.
The one
Last
in Baltimore.
Man Standing.
That was in Baltimore.
Yeah, when he taped his ankles or whatever to the goal or to the ring post,
mm-hmm.
didn't care for that too much.
Yeah, I didn't either. I'll give you that one. I didn't either.
That was the only match they had that I didn't care for.
Yeah, that one wasn't that good either. Yeah, no, I give you that. You're right. You're exactly right. Yeah.
But I think this man you're setting up, I think Kofi has an opportunity. Champ, I ain't going to hold you to that. You mean you? If he doesn't win, you're more than welcome to come on the night after Mania. Yeah, the night after. Well,
hey, I'll come on after the night after, but I won't be able to say nothing the night after.
He'll give it the week of Mania for something to happen. Yes.
Yeah, we give you the week of Mania, so you'll be able to come on. You know, and hopefully AEW have a TV deal or announce their TV deal by then, so we can start talking AEW wrestling.
I'm looking forward to that. I really want to see what they got to offer because WWE right now, whatever fire got lit under them, they kind of doing it right now. Nobody can really.
Raw was good. It's been, I'd say this past Raw was probably one of the best Raws that they had so far in the new year. So I'll give them props on that. SmackDown, not so much to me this week, but the previous weeks, it was okay.
SmackDown, you got to remember, Chad, that SmackDown, you clearly can tell that they booked that very differently. SmackDown, it's not storyline driven heavy like Raw is. You can clearly see Raw is very storyline heavy.
Yeah, Raw is very storyline.
SmackDown, you're going to get the wrestling. You're going to get
the
wrestling.
SmackDown, you get the matches. SmackDown, you get the matches. Yeah. I mean, looking, Raw had the best ratings they had in 6 months with Roman and Flair.
Yeah, and kudos to them for keeping Batista a secret, and then you cap it off with Batista because now you're like, whoa, all that happened, and we got Batista.
Yeah,
well,
you know what I mean?
What were you saying? I was watching. And that last segment when the camera was there, and then you see Batista in all black just dragging the cameraman. To the room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I actually jumped because I didn't know what was going on. Like,
yeah.
And it created that fear, and I thought about it, and I remember how back, even though I know you don't like for me saying this, back in the Attitude Era and back then, you didn't know what was going to happen. Like, you really didn't know, like, it was the feeling that anything could happen at any point in time. And they say this on Something to Wrestle, that was the intention of how they wanted to put the show together. And this past Monday, it was one of those situations where I was like, wow, I did not know that was going to happen. And also, you know, what they did listen to as well, they finally put Becky in handcuffs as opposed to her having her hands behind her back. And they made sure that they zoomed in on the handcuffs.
We all know, they listened to the program.
But yeah, that was a good segment. I like the way it ended. You know, it leaves you wondering like what's gonna happen this upcoming week.
But you got new people backstage. I don't know how much writing they're doing now or how much they're involved, but you have new people. WWE's hired new people that's involved who can tell stories. I don't care what you say. Bruce Pritchard can tell stories. Jeff Jarrett, been around the business long enough, he can tell stories. Sanjay Dutt, who's been there for a while, can tell stories. So you got, and you know, along with Chris Park, a.k.a. Abyss, and you got a lot of guys now, different pieces matching
in there. And don't forget also, you got Hurricane Helms back there, too.
And Hurricane Helms.
Who's also been around a long time.
And not only have they been around, but they watched the product from the outside, and they realize what fans can talk about. You figure, you take Pritchard, who's been around fans forever, with his Q&As and stuff like that he's been talking about, and what wrestlers, what wrestling fans have been talking to him about at his shows with Conrad, and you take Hurricane Helms, who's been at his shows, and Sanjay Dutt, who's been all over the world wrestling, and these guys hear things, and they're like, okay, this is what the fans are looking for. They want more realism. They want more off-the-cuff promos. They want this. They want surprises that we don't know about. And you get good TV. Now, let's see if they can pull it 2 weeks in a row. We have 6 weeks to WrestleMania. Let's see if they can sustain this, because the momentum is rolling right now. And I think I'm not going to say AEW's in trouble. I'm not going to say – I mean, not like it's a competition per se, but if WWE gets real hot with their storylines and they stay consistent with their storylines, wrestling's already booming.
I disagree with you, G. They're not going to be in trouble like that. The more
that's why I use my words in trouble. I mean, they're gonna have to make compelling TV.
Right.
They're gonna make compelling TV to keep the wrestling fan. Because this is my thing with AEW. It's good to do it for one pay per view. It's good to do it for two pay per views. Can you do it 52 weeks strong like WWE? We saw that TNA couldn't do it 52 weeks strong. Even Ring of Honor can't do it for 52 weeks. If you're going to do weekly programming, can you make it exciting and interesting for 52 weeks? And we know WWE has a hard time doing that. So you already have a culture-like fan base or a cult following. Can you keep that cult following happy for 52 weeks?
I'm going to start out doing 52 shows a year. I think right now you do what they got, the double or nothing, right? You got that in May.
Yeah.
Then you do another event in August, because that seems to be a moment like when there's nothing going on, you know, and then you save another one maybe till what, Halloween or Christmas or something like that.
If they smart, they stay around the holiday times where people can use that weekend, that long weekend, to support their shows.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they already created a pattern. You got Labor. The first one was on Labor Day weekend. This one's on Memorial Day weekend. Keep that pattern and keep those cities where international airports, people can fly in and out, and you keep booking the show that way until you can announce your TV deal. Can you announce the arenas? All that. Because they still going to have to make some live gate money. And then are we going to just do pay-per-views, just one big shows? You know, and it's still a lot of questions with AEW. How many pay-per-views they can try to do a year? How many, live event shows? Just those type of questions. Not saying the company doesn't want to succeed. I think the company, even before they do a show or really on TV like that, they have made WWE pay attention.
And
made them pay attention and improve what they're going. And we know that the best time, you mentioned the Attitude Era earlier, the reason that the Attitude Era was good because it was competition. And so long as you got competition, everybody's fighting for those eyeballs and viewerships. Because those things equal advertising dollars, and it's all about the green. It's all about the money. You know, so I'm going to ask you guys about this, and Wizard, I want your opinion on it. You know, we talked about Kofi Kingston. We talked about WrestleMania matches. Let's talk about these guys from NXT. What is WWE doing with these guys? Where everybody going to settle at? I haven't seen EC3 in a minute. We don't even know where Lars Sullivan is at. Lacey Evans walks in and out. Nikki Cross haven't been there for a minute. What are we doing with NXT still wrestlers?
I don't know if they just want to get people off of NXT TV because they got other people they ready to push, or I really don't know, because it's so weird. Like we were mentioning before in pre-show, I was saying that why in the world, I hate that they're teaming Aleister Black and Ricochet. I hate it because these guys have so much to offer as singles. It's like, okay, why are y'all teaming them? Like, why? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like, I'm really like, okay, what's the point of you teaming these two? One was just not so long ago your NXT champion. The other one was just North American champion. Like, and now you're teaming them? Like, for what? For what? That kills me.
And just a year ago, these two guys, you know NXT take over New Orleans. I mean, the ladder match. Ricochet stole the show in that match. But you got guys.
Right. And Aleister won the championship at that show.
Won the championship. Now you got them tag teaming with each other, and then you got them on Raw, then you got them on SmackDown. And then you're making the Revival, who won the tag team titles, look like they're foolish tag team by losing to two NXT guys. Not saying the two guys are not qualified. Don't get me wrong. But 2 weeks in a row, your Raw champions lost to two guys who just got called up.
I hate that. I hate that. Yeah. I hate these non-title matches. Like, they just don't do them. That takes away from the value of the belt. Like, if the belt
is not on the story. Yeah. You're about to say exactly what I'm about to say. If the belt ain't on the line, you know when it is. You know who's winning. you already know who's gonna win. You beat Revival twice. And the third time you get the title shot, you beating them again? No. And then it's done.
Yeah,
All those other matches mean nothing because the title wasn't on the line. The one you beat them four times in a row. The fifth time the title on the line, that one match trumps all the rest of it, and then it's done.
Yeah, it's done. So I just want to have a clear cut where these guys are going. Put them on Raw, put them on SmackDown. Be interested to see, we look at and research where if their ratings are up when NXT guys are on SmackDown or Raw. It just, to me, make a decision. Put them on one of the brands and let's run with it. I mean, Ricochet on Raw is not a bad idea. You got Ricochet, Finn Balor. You got Ricochet, Seth Rollins. You got Ricochet. You know, you can is mix and match on that card with him. Aleister Black on SmackDown, not bad. He can feud again with CN. You can see Aleister Black, maybe, in Rey Mysterio. Aleister Black and Randy Orton.
With CN. He already feuding with him.
He had a match. Yeah. Oh, yeah, over his wife.
Whoa, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Did I miss something?
No. I'm just tying it together. Nothing.
Of course, you know CN's manager is Aleister Black's wife.
Okay.
I was just being funny, tying it in. That's all.
Yeah.
You didn't miss anything.
And CN, allegedly, I don't know if it's true or not, allegedly rumored to be messing with Charlotte. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, CN is supposed to be dating Charlotte. And they're supposed to have been dating for a while now, from what I'm hearing. So. Yeah.
You know what? I saw Aleister at the Fighting With My Family screening. And Selena's her name, right?
Yeah, Zelina plays AJ Lee, I think.
She plays AJ. She was there. She was very nice. The one thing that stood up, Aleister's a bit taller than I thought he was, whatever. He's not as like wide or broad-shouldered, whatever. And, like, he definitely looks like a character, whereas if you saw him in the street, you think he either you wouldn't want to walk by him in a dark alley, not because he's physically imposing, but it just looks like he can really like do some bad things to you with a switchblade, you know?
I 100% agree with you. I do. He just looks like a dude you're not going to F with.
He did time for some very unspeakable things.
Bingo. Yeah, I like that.
Right.
Yeah, and with that being said, we talked about Bray Wyatt. I think to give them something to do, you bring back Bray and he kind of like reorganizes the next generation of the Wyatt family, or like a Wyatt family reboot, you know, because at least the one thing that they did have with Bray was never without a storyline up until he right. tagged up with Matt Hardy. But then that even came from a storyline, you know, so you always had something with him going on. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy to see him back. I'd be happy to see them reboot that.
Reboot of him? Are we going to get a reboot of him? Is he getting repackaged? That's what
No, you don't repackage that. You don't repackage that.
You don't think you repackage it, but I think you can mix it up. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Bray Wyatt with Daniel Bryan.
Okay. As the subordinate?
Yeah, you flip the mastermind. The subordinate, you flip the roles. That Daniel now is in charge, and Bray comes and be a subordinate.
But he was already the subordinate to Matt Hardy. Then that takes away from him. You can't have him be the subordinate twice over.
You're right there. You're right there. Which, you know, this WWE land, we're not supposed to know that they already have women tag team titles.
Yeah. Oh, way back in the, yeah. Well, it is the first technically WWE one. It is.
True. You know,
Wait, hold on. Let me go back. Because you were saying, what are they doing to the NXT people that they brought up? This EC3 dude, yo, like, I don't see it, man. I don't see, yo.
Nah, he was that dude in TNA. He matured a lot from the Derek Bateman character up until TNA. So no, I see why they went back and got him, because he is a valuable asset.
He's still money. Yeah. It's just how you book him. And just like Bobby Roode, we know Bobby Roode is money. They just need to book him in a way that he can get a string of wins.
He looked like the guy that got cut from the final roster of the Magic Mike 2015 tour. Like, he looks like a guy that will sell me a Chevy and then allow me to trade it in for a DeLorean. This guy looks like, if I ask him to fix my sink, I leave the house, I come back, and he'll say, hey, your windows won't stop raining. Like, I don't – yo, this guy, he's a dork, yo. Like, yo.
Ladies
like,
and gentlemen, Champ Creed.
Champ Creed, man.
Like, I don't see it. Like, your man had his weight. Hold on. Didn't in one of the promos he had, like, his wrestling gear under his clothes or something like that?
Yeah, that was weird.
Like, what? Who does that? No, yeah. I know does that.
They're not booking him right. But he, once again, it's too many people on the roster. They haven't really sat down and mapped out who to feud with. That's the difference between this era and the Attitude Era. Even in the Attitude Era times, and I'm not one to harp on Attitude Era times, but I guess go back to the storylines just for comparison. When they had this, even Right to Censor had a storyline. You know what I'm saying?
Yo,
Kai Tai had a storyline. So if he was on TV, they gave you a storyline.
Glenn, before I forget, he looks like if there was a biopic on Chuck Palumbo, he wouldn't be the guy that they get to play Chuck Palumbo. He'd be the stand-in for the guy that they picked to be Chuck Palumbo. Like,
you're the worst.
Who gives
Keith a microphone?
I don't know, man.
Oh, listen, if you give me a microphone with that guy around, we're going to have Saturday Night Live all day long. Like, he's the worst, man. And I'm not even just talking about his ring, whatever, because, okay, he can do a few things in there. He looks kind of stiff to me, but I will say, you know, it's effective and efficient what he does in terms of his work rate. But everything outside of that, yo, how you got to get repackaged after your first week, bro? Like, they got to do something.
Because they're calling these guys up and they don't have any place for them. And that's the problem.
Right.
They're calling them up and don't have any place for them. Because if you really look at it, NXT is oversaturated. The main roster is oversaturated right now. And they still do 3 hours worth of programming where I get to see Seth Rollins 3 times or whoever 4 times. They need to create – everybody needs to have their own little storyline, their own little segment, and let it roll with it. And you build storylines that way going into your pay-per-views. Think about it. Even GTV had a storyline. You know what I'm saying? It was just
– Yeah.
It, it was just those things. Everybody had a place. And with 3 hours, I don't need to see wrestlers multiple times.
I see your point. I give you that. I can give him that. I see his point with that.
You know?
I do.
And that's one of the things there. Don't need to see him multiple times. But let's move on. WWE, big announcement. We got another person being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame this year.
That is
the Honky Tonk Man, the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion.
The longing,
right?
Longing to get in the Hall of Fame.
Hey, at least I knew that Chris Park and Abyss was the same person.
Touche.
Hold on. Don't make me pull out my Vern Gagne card.
You'll never be able to live that one down. That one's etched in time.
Yeah, that's extra time. That is. But the Honky Tonk Man, longest reigning Intercontinental Champion, finally being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame after years of complaining about the WWE Hall of Fame. You know, he complained for years about WWE Hall of Fame is not a real Hall of Fame. And I don't know, is that because he was bitter because he hadn't gotten in yet, or is Wade saying
I'm the sure because he hadn't gotten in yet. I'm sure it's because of that. I'm absolutely sure because of that. I mean, he did deserve to be in, and, you know, he's getting in now. So that's all that counts really to me. I'm an advocate for it. I definitely believe he belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's most real.
Listen,
me too. Honky Tonk
I'm
Man
guaranteeing you now, Honky Tonk Man, top five Hall of Speech ever.
Because you know what's one of the great unheralded speeches, even though it was so good, he wasn't even the one being inducted. It was when Jim Cornette put in the Rock and Roll Express.
Yep.
That was a good one, too.
That was one, yeah.
And he wasn't even being inducted. So you know what I mean? Like, that's what I think we sat there, Glenn, was like, yo, wait till he gets inducted.
Wait till he gets it. I can hear Jim Cornette talk all day.
Yeah, like his was really good.
Yeah, Honky Tonk Man would be the guy that gives the writers one script and like this is what I'm reading, and then get on the stage and go off kilter the whole time.
Oh man, I listen.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Oh boy.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm glad he's getting in after that, and I'm glad we're able to hear his speech, because this guy, I mean. If you go back to the 80s and you go on the WWE Network, he put in a lot of work. He wrestled a lot of people. He beat a lot of big stars. Beat a lot of big stars for that long title run as the Intercontinental Champion. And back then, that was the Workers title.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And which, you know, I'm kind of sad. That, not sad. It's kind of messed up that he was the Intercontinental Champion because that was Butch Reed's spot.
Yeah. It was?
Yes, it was. Yep. That was Butch Reed's spot, but Butch Reed no-showed the show. And they had to ask who around, and Hogan mentioned the Honky Tonk Man, and the rest is history.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I've heard that story, too.
You know, fellas, we got to do a show on what could have been. Like, with all the scenarios and situations of what could have been. Like, that I've never heard of that before. So yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, we'd be able to get some mileage out of that.
Yeah, I think, as a matter of fact, if you go back to iTunes, so I'm talking about earlier shows, I believe Butch Reed, if I'm not mistaken, talked about that on our show.
Hmm. How many shows do we have by now?
We're up there. But I believe Butch Reed told that story years ago on our show. I might pull it up and rehash it. Put it out there. But yeah, let's talk about Honky Tonk Man. Who's next? All right, we already got our faction. We got our former 80s wrestler. Who's the African American this year?
Wait, hold on, because I'm gonna go real soon. I think in the entertainment wing, when does Flo Rida get in? Because he's the
next time we go to Florida, if it's
in
Tampa next year, it's next year.
All right.
Well, I think
he carved out a career just making music for the WWE. He should be on their record label.
Yeah, I think Puffy's the entertainment guy this year. I'm not having heard anything, but I think Puffy. I've heard Taz's name be out put out there that he's supposed to get inducted.
Yeah, I want
New York.
Yeah. I want y'all opinion. I want y'all opinion on that. I want your opinion on that. And is Taz a WWE Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Just for his time in ECW.
I just want to make sure, because that's what I'm thinking. ECW alone, and some and the commentating work that he did, I think he is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, his body of work in ECW, since it's under the umbrella, plus his commentary work, you know, I really think so. Injuries kind of limited, like, things that he could do.
Yeah, and Vince's booking wasn't – Vince never gave him a chance. Kurt and Taz could have had way more of a better rivalry than what they had with just Taz's debut. Like, because Taz was just as good as Kurt in a sense. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I mean, his debut. His debut was one of the hottest debuts there is.
Yeah, listen.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Kurt Angle undefeated at that time?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure was.
Yeah, Kurt. Yeah.
So that's one of the things that's there that's hot. And this other way, Wiz, I know you're the Wiz. Is China counted as the female inductee this year?
I was going to ask y'all that. Do you think China counts as the female?
No, I think one more gets in. I think so too.
But yeah, the only thing I'm thinking about is Victoria, Molly Holly.
Is it time for Sable?
It may be. You may be right.
See, I was always thinking once they go to Minneapolis, that it would be Sable. You know what I'm saying? But if Tampa's the next one, you got to put Sable in now. You already put Sonny in. You know, you already put Trish in. Sable has to be one of those to go in. I think she goes in before Molly and all those. The WWE Spirit of Hatchet might be a way to keep Brock around. I don't know. But I think Sable is definitely one that needs to go in. And then, okay, who's the wrestler that's no longer with us that goes in?
I would hope Vader, but...
Yeah, I would hope so,
I would think so, and I would hope so, but I really think Jim Neville and Neidhart, that's what they're going to do. Yeah. I think the Hart Foundation.
That quick, I mean, that's no knock to him, but over Vader is just like...
Yeah, I think Vader goes in.
I really do. You know, I got a dog in that fight. I wish he does, but, you know, some comments say, I just don't think. And he was right about this one. He wasn't going to get in when he was alive. And that's not something I heard. That's something I was told directly by him. So he really thought he would never get in while he was alive. So I hope WWE gets it right. And within the next 2 years, he actually goes in, because he should have been in while he was alive.
Well, you know
who I think is going to go in? I don't know what you would have to create a wing for this guy. EC3 is going to go into the WWE Hall of Fame
behind Doink
for being the most clownish act.
And, oh, man.
Oh, oh my God, this guy is so bad, bro. Like,
who let him on the line, man?
Dang. And all I ever hear is, oh, he was so good in TNA. Oh, he held him down. And I never feel this way about anyone. But I felt like I was sold a bad bag of potatoes. And this guy just not cutting it in the frying pan. Like, what are you guys seeing here? Like, I don't get it. I don't.
I think it's because you didn't watch TNA. I honestly think it's because you didn't watch TNA.
Yeah. I know. We all know that you left TNA after the whole AJ Styles, what was that girl's name?
Claire Lynch.
The Claire Lynch. Yeah, we know that you left TNA from the Claire Lynch situation, and never returned. So, but no, AC3,
so
he did make a name for himself.
Wait, hold on, Glenn. So if I left because of that, you don't think I won't leave if they don't do this Kobe thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got a point there.
You do have a point there. But he did develop, and but see the thing, he developed in TNA when nobody was watching TNA when they was going through the whole what they want to be. But he was making a name for himself. So, and I think even at NXT, he was making a name for himself until he got hurt. Now to NXT, but now once again, it goes back to WWE bringing some of these guys up on the main roster who have no place, and it's gonna kill a guy like EC3. It won't hurt Aleister Black so much, or a Ricochet. But would it hurt? It already hurt Heavy Machinery. They doing stupid stuff. We saw what they did to the Ascension. So we see when you come up, and we already see Ty Dillinger is like, bye, see y'all later. He's gone. So
yeah, and speaking of Ty, I think Tyler probably will be the next one.
But yeah,
I think he'll want to go too.
Yeah, I think he goes too.
I feel bad for that guy. I really thought he had like potential to be.
Yeah,
like,
he does, and that's what makes me mad.
He had the perfect gimmick, and I hate to say that people are like, oh, he's not a perfect 10, but he had the gimmick.
Yeah, that you can chicken. Well, can we curse on the show? No.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
You can be the chicken shit heel forever with a gimmick like that, bro. The pretty boy.
Oh yeah,
Prince pretty gimmick, bro. Like the flamboyant gimmick, bro. Like for him, he does that very well. You know?
Very well.
And I you could get so much mileage out of that gimmick, but I just
but he
don't
work too. That was the thing.
Tyler Breeze
very talented in the ring.
If you think about it in Wizard, you're a test, Tyler Breeze really helped NXT be put on the map.
Oh, absolutely. Remember two things about Tyler Breeze. One, They kind of built the entire finale of Breaking Ground around him coming up to the main roster. And two, of all the talent on the NXT roster at the time that it was, which NXT was laden with talent, they picked Tyler Breeze to wrestle Jushin Thunder Liger at the first Brooklyn TakeOver.
Yeah.
Of all people at that time, when you had Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, you had all these people on the roster, and you let Tyler Breeze work with Jushin Thunder Liger. Mm-hmm. Like, really?
Yeah.
In Brooklyn. Like, and now he's been reduced to nothing on the. Come on. That one. Because Tyler's one of my guys. I like Tyler a lot.
You know, and last time we saw him.
That makes me mad.
Last time I saw him, they sent him back to NXT. He had a match on NXT again. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, now that he's back there, he can be fodder, a rung in the ladder for the new NXT sensation by the name of Eric Bugenhagen.
I know you want to hit on Eric Bugenhagen. Yeah. That dude is
he has something. Nah, he does.
He has the stuff. He has something. The crowd is into him. The guitar situation, the whole rock star look.
Look.
He has something.
Now, I've never heard or seen any instance where someone loses a match, goes backstage, gets called back out, not to wrestle, but to do his shtick, whatever, and gets cheered at this stage of his career, at this stage. Now, I'll give you a little backstory on it. I remember seeing him in a video. There's this Instagram famous workout athlete guy named Juju Mfumu, something, whatever, right? And they did videos and they were working out. They, you know, they do the CrossFit. They do the, I think he deadlifted like 650 pounds or something like that. So the guy is strong. You know, he's legit strong. He's compact, but he's very strong. He has like legit grappling skills from what I hear, you know, from people saying, yeah, he knows how to grapple, high school wrestling, all these different things, whatever, right? So in terms of being able to protect himself in the ring, he can do that. In terms of being a shooter, he has that. The look, the gimmick, the charisma, the energy. I mean, he's just starting out his wrestling career, so there's things that he's going to have to work on. I was telling G before you got on, Wiz, all he needs to do, give him the Hulk Hogan 1980s offensive package kit, right?
Oh, where the axe handle and the rake of the back.
That's all he needs, bro. That's all he needs. Nothing spectacular. I don't need no Ricochet shit from him. I don't need no, you know, Seth Rock shooting star. I don't need no, hold on, what's the guy that Kobe's taking his place?
Mustafa Ali.
Mustafa Ali.
I don't need no Mustafa Ali. I don't need none of that. I just need some punches, a clothesline, double axe handle, rake in the back, maybe an elbow, a knee lift, a body slam, and an air guitar.
Atomic drop.
And all he needs to do right now, I don't know what his finisher is because he lost. I need him to get a quality finisher and a signal to do either before or after the finisher. And
like something like a guitar strum or something, like a strong guitar strum into his.
look, that's all he needs. And I'm telling you, he don't need to go a year and a half on NXT, 2 years, and then put him on takeoff. No.
You know what? I actually agree with you. He's not one that probably needs to be down there long. His character, at least, is main roster ready, as weird as that
sounds. Yes. Because
hey, put him in the ring. Put him in the ring with the Velveteen Dream, and you have a whole lot of fans cheering in that one, brother.
Here's what I see. There are some guys there that need the in-ring work. They need the gimmick character. I'll say character development. They need the mic skill development, media training, all those things. And that's why you keep them down there, right?
Right. Sure.
Some guys, they just naturally have it because they've been all – like a guy like Samoa Joe, he's been all around the world, so you don't need to keep him there long. You just need him in the system to bring him up or get the other guys better, whatever. Everyone has their purpose for being down there. This guy – what are we in? What is this? End of February?
Okay.
There's going to be a NXT event.
Yes.
What? When? Friday? Yep. Before Mania?
Yes, Friday before Mania.
That NXT. Needs to be his last. That needs to be his first and last NXT main event, whatever. I don't care where you put him on the card. He just needs to do that in that market so everybody knows whatever. So that's his NXT pay-per-view weekend or whatever it is. Work him up to the summertime. What's summertime? Money in the Bank?
Around that area, yeah.
Okay, start running your promos on him for Money in the Bank or whatever. He needs to be on the main roster by SummerSlam.
Well, that's what I was going to say with what you were just saying. I think he should work through NXT up until and debut that SummerSlam weekend as far as like Raw or SmackDown.
Debut on Raw. I can get with that.
Yeah. So he'll do two takeovers in that sense. He'll do the WrestleMania one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? There's another takeover in between. I think they do a takeover Money in the Bank weekend too. I think they do one. So he'll essentially have three because you know who else actually is in that same boat as Eric? Matt Riddle.
Yes.
Matt Riddle.
But I don't like his character, the beach bum character.
Yeah, but see,
you know
that's,
what
that's
though? That's been his character.
That's been his stick.
That's been his character in the indies. That's the only thing. That one you're not going to change.
Okay. Well.
Also, give Matt Riddle a lot of credibility or a lot of fluff now. It's the statements that he made earlier this week that he'll be the one to retire Brock Lesnar, and they've been running with that.
Yeah, he sure enough did say that. I saw that.
That he'll be the one to retire Brock Lesnar, and so that gives Matt Riddle a opportunity to move up and eventually face Brock. Somewhere down the line.
But didn't we say, Corey, didn't we agree he needs more in-ring work?
Oh, yeah. Matt needs NXT work, yes. But his character is main roster ready. It really
but
is.
My thing, for him, the difference between him and Bugenhagen is that Matt is an offensive performer. He needs to have his moveset in. For you to appreciate what he can do,
what he does,
and then
do
that with the Bugs, bro. Just beat him up the whole match.
Did you just give him a nickname, the Bugs?
The Bugs, yes, the Bugs. Just beat him up the whole match. You know, throw him out. He gets a little offense. Beat him up some more. It goes out the ring, reversal, kickouts. Okay, now it's time. Block. offense, block offense, block offense, babyface fire, Hulk up, play the guitar, hit the rope. What is he was playing the drums on it? He was playing the drums on the rope, right?
Okay, but let me be that guy. And a shout out to Darius, and he didn't make this comment, but I'm shout out to him while we're thinking about it. What makes him any different than No Way Jose and my man Adam Rose? What makes him any different?
One, well, Jose black, right?
Hispanic.
Jose is Dominican.
Dominican,
he's
yeah.
Well, that means he's black. So
he got color.
Because that's a whole other argument. Adam Rose was cool, but he was playing like the Austin Powers kind of gimmick, which is, you know, it's a little cutesy, little, you know, fun. And it was cool and it was entertaining. And although I felt he could have gone further on the main roster.
Way further. Yeah, he could have.
If they would have revealed the bunny.
I was about to say, they botched his career with the bunny thing because that was organic. That way, and this goes back to my argument, which you were here in our library. If you go back and listen to any of our shows, they kill organic steam because the writers have difficulty pivoting from what they already have established, right? So that's the difference between Adam Rose and what you bring this guy and just – because, look, if you push him like I think you should, the fans are either going to love him or they're going to hate him. There will be no in-between with this guy. So then your back pocket plan is if the fans flip on him and they boom to death, now you got another heel. Now you got a strong heel, you know, which is something that they sorely lack right now. I'm telling you, bro, listen.
Actually,
okay,
you know what they're going to do with Eric? They'll give him a comedy spot in the Rumble. They'll definitely give him one of those.
I hope they not. Will, his debut the other night was epic, and I really do like his debut. I agree with Keith, and I agree with you guys. His debut, you could feel the energy from the crowd when he was there.
Yeah,
he brought the energy.
It didn't feel like I was watching an NXT clip when I was watching that, bro. Like, it really felt different watching it. That's all I gotta say. And I don't even know how I found that because I don't watch NXT. I tell y'all that all the time. But
yeah.
I think it was on WWE's main page, though. I feel like it was on WWE. Actually, I think it was.
I think it was on the main page. It was so hot, they put it on.
Actually, they tweeted it out, or because I remember seeing it somewhere WWE-based, and I was like, oh, okay.
But it was one of those things, as you said, Champ, real quick, I know we're going to wrap this up. It was those things, guys like that, guys like Kofi, guys like years ago, Daniel Bryan, when that organic moment happens, WWE just has to go with it. And I think you said it.
You're right.
They just have to go with it. And, you know, that was his debut match. So no one has ever seen this dude before, but it was one of those debuts where, like, dang, this dude's over it. And this is his first match. Hey.
And Kofi's got DX to thank because Shawn Michaels and Triple H outing him on that Jamaican accent is one of the greatest things that ever happened to him.
Yes. Yeah, because he had to get rid of it.
It was so clever. And I bet, you know what? I bet you those two were the ones that came up with that, too. They probably were like, you know what? We got to legitimize this dude some kind of way. And they got that accent. Because, you know, when you watch it back and you hear him talking normal, it's so funny when you watch it back. Because you see Sean's face. And then you hear her is like, wait, do you have an accent? And they're like, ugh. And the first thing I thought of when Hunter said that was like, dang, when he outed Chris Masters on all his weight loss, when Masters came back from the suspension.
And
remember when Chris Masters lost all that weight? He's like, I think he dropped from like 275 to like 240.
Yeah, he looked sick.
And they were like,
what did they say?
And Triple H was like, he mentioned something that Masters needs to read, Triple H's book on nutrition or something like that. It was bad because it really outed him, and it was kind of like, whoa, like, yeah. Like it put his weight loss, like, on blast because you could tell. Mm-hmm. Like, if you couldn't tell before, you definitely could tell from that.
Yeah.
Because he was smaller. He was smaller. He was considerably smaller.
Considerably smaller, which kind of killed his career.
You know what? Let me rephrase this because we were building on a thought. you're right. Let him do three takeovers. Bring him up to that roster that Monday night after SummerSlam, right? And do what they did for Ultimate Warrior that they did to Honky Tonk. Bring him in on his first night. Give him some gold, brother.
Hey,
first night.
I would be. If you go back and look at it, Carlito won gold his first night too.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean Warrior. It wasn't Warrior's first night. If he had done some work, he had already been there since like December, and he fought at WrestleMania 4. So Warrior had exposure, but that was his first real big moment. But Warrior had been on TV like enough by then. He had.
I don't know why I remember that being his first match ever, though.
I want to say he debuted like October, November, or December of 87. He debuted. And he fought Hercules at WrestleMania 4. So he was on the main roster. That's so funny. Yeah, it was only one roster back then. He was on TV by then.
It was, man. Hey, fellas, let's wrap this bad boy up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you enjoyed the show, you can always check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher. You can always follow us on YouTube. When you go to YouTube, type in Wrestling Marks of Excellence. Hit that subscribe button and that bell notification. Never miss any of our shows. Also, if you're listening to us on iTunes or Google Play, make sure you leave a 5-star review. Leave a comment as well. And also hit the subscribe button so you don't miss anything. So automatic download it when we upload it. And you can have it. Always Wizard, Keith, Champ, it's always a pleasure. Wizard, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.